While herding the very beautiful bulls, the Lord, who was their reservoir, reservoir of opulence and fortune used to blow his flute and thus enliven his faithful followers, the Cavaquores. As he grew to 6 and 7 years old, the Lord was given charge of looking after the cows and bulls and the grazing rams. He was the son of a well-to-do landholder who owned hundreds and thousands of cows. And according to Vedic economics, one is considered to be a rich man by the strength of his store of grains and cows. With only these two things, cows and grain, humanity can solve its eating problem. Human society needs only sufficient grain and sufficient cows to solve its economic problems. All other things but these two are artificial necessities created by man to kill his valuable life at the human level and waste his time in things which are not needed. Lord Krishna, as the teacher of human society, personally showed by his acts that the mercantile community, or the Vaishyas, should herd cows and bulls and thus give protection to the valuable animals. According to Smriti regulation, the cow is the mother and the bull the father of the human being. The cow is the mother because just as one sucks the breast of one's mother, human society takes cow's milk. Similarly, the bull is the father of human society because the father earns for the children just as the bull tills the ground to produce food grains. Human society will kill its spirit of life by killing the father and the mother. It is mentioned herein that the beautiful cows and bulls were of various checkered colors, red, black, green, yellow, ash, etc. And because of their colors and healthy, smiling features, the atmosphere was enlivened. Over and above all, the Lord used to play his celebrated flute. The sound vibrated by his flute would give his friends such transcendental pleasure that they would forget all the thoughts of the Brahmananda, which is so praised by the impersonalists. These cowherd boys, as will be explained by Shukadeva Goswami, were living entities who had accumulated heaps of pious acts and thus were enjoying with the Lord in person and were hearing his transcendental flute. The Brahma Samhita 30 confirms the Lord's blowing his transcendental flute. Venum quanantam aravinda dalaya paksham varahavatam samasitam buddhasundarangam kandarapakotikamaniya vishesha shobham Govinda Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. Brahmaji said, I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who plays on his transcendental flute. His eyes are like lotus flowers, he is decorated with peacock plumes, and his bodily color resembles a fresh black cloud, although his bodily features are more beautiful than millions of cupids. Unquote. These are the special features of the Lord. Shri Prabhupada, Samam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Vrtale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachalini Vishishya Sundarana Prasthukana Vrtale Kampara Kurtana Kampanjanda Vrtale Kampanjanda Vrtale Kampanjanda Saiva go dhunam lakshmiyam niketam sita go vrisham charayam anugam gopam pranat venu harirama. While herding the very beautiful bulls, the Lord, who is the reservoir of all opulence and fortune, used to blow his flute and thus enliven his faithful followers, the cowherd boys. While herding the very beautiful bulls, the very beautiful cows and bulls. So as the saying goes, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Which means that our concepts vary according to our state of conscience, to our degree of conscience, to our conscience. So, all of our concepts about anything, life in particular, for example, good and bad. What is good and what is bad? According to Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada would tell us that actually in this world, from one point of view, everything is bad. If we analyze what is the need for this world, why, what is the purpose, what was the reason of this world? So from one point of view, from one angle, it is produced to accommodate our rebellion to the Lord, to accommodate rebellion, to accommodate sin. So from that point of view, it is a negative. Everything is bad from that angle. On the other hand, we were saying previously in previous class that on the other hand, everything, we should see it in this particular world and ourselves. Our purpose, everything is meant to give pleasure to the Lord, to give pleasure to Krishna. We're meant to give pleasure to Krishna. So from that angle, everything is good. And of course, finally, that is the absolute angle, because everything should be analyzed in its connection, as far as its connection with the Supreme Lord, with Krishna. So again, the very beautiful bulls and cows, our concept of good and bad, and then our concept of beauty, our taste for things will change according to our consciousness. And we have come, we are in this Krishna consciousness movement to try to elevate, to improve our consciousness to its highest extent, which is that we may fulfill our purpose in being, our purpose of existence, or the reason of our existence. So, in that sense, this verse is very interesting, very important, many points of view. There is the analysis of the, it reminds us of the pastime, of Krishna's pastime, Krishna Lila, which is actually what is happening, what this chapter is about. Is Uddhava reminiscing, the reminiscence of Sri Uddhava about the pastimes of the Lord. So that is the main topic. And we may extract so many other topics, especially taking them from Srila Prabhupada's purport. Now in the topic itself, and extracting some subsidiary understanding, we can see that in the service of the Lord, nothing is insignificant. Very interesting how all these texts, just like today we are holding, just as every day, this very solemn class, Srimad Bhagavatam. We are all here gathering to analyze this one text. Text after text, we are analyzing Srimad Bhagavatam. So there must be something very important for us to listen to be gathering in this way, in a very solemn manner, as this class was created by the Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, was instituted in our movement. Very solemn daily class, very great moment. And what is the message today? While herding the very beautiful bulls, the Lord, who was the reservoir of all opulence and fortune, used to blow his flute, and thus he enlivened his faithful followers
they got their boys.
The very important message of the day. Analyzing it from ordinary point of view, actually we want to hear about something very important. Now, what is the importance of cows and bulls? What is the importance of the flute, of it? What is the importance of cowherd boys, of farmers? So in society, if we analyze all these things, the point of view of ordinary society, these are not so important. But for us, they are the most important. So the meaning is that in the service of the Lord, nothing in the world of the Lord, in the universe of the Lord, Krishna, nothing is insignificant. Nothing is too small. And therefore, even ourselves, we are very important. We should actually take charge and responsibility of our importance. Not because of us, not that naturally, actually, you tell anybody you're very important, and it's a very flattering statement. Anybody will become very enlightened by hearing you are very important. So it's not in that sense that we should take it. Yes, I'm very important. But it is in the sense of fulfilling our role as a piece in the great program and the great scheme of Krishna's pleasure. We are meant to give Him pleasure. And that is what will give us pleasure. And that is our real position, to please the Lord, that He may take. So we may analyze like that. How much pleasure am I giving Krishna? How much pleasure is Krishna getting from me? What is my position in Krishna's world? Am I fulfilling my role in Krishna's world? So, from the point of view, again, of the pastime that is being remembered by Uddhava, we may read with profit. We mentioned the last time the very first six texts of this chapter are very enlightening as to the mentality that we are aspiring after. And where is this text, in which context, where is this text appearing? And that is in the mind of Sri Uddhava, the companion of the Lord. So the first text, they read, Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, when the great devotee Uddhava was asked by Vidura to speak on the messages of the dearest Lord Krishna, Uddhava was unable to answer immediately due to excessive anxiety at the remembrance of the Lord. He was one who even in his childhood, at the age of 5 years, was so absorbed in the service of Lord Krishna that when he was called by his mother for morning breakfast, he did not wish to have it. Uddhava thus served the Lord continually from childhood, and in his old age, that attitude of service never slackened. As soon as he was asked about the message of the Lord, he at once remembered all about it. For a moment, he remained dead silent, and his body did not move. He became absorbed in the nectar of remembering the Lord's lotus feet in devotional ecstasy, and he appeared to be going increasingly deeper into that ecstasy. It was so observed by Vidura that Uddhava had all the transcendental bodily changes due to total ecstasy, and he was trying to wipe away tears of separation from his eyes. Thus Vidura could understand that Uddhava had completely assimilated extensive love for the Lord. The great devotee Uddhava soon came back from the abode of the Lord to the human plane, and wiping his eyes, he awakened his reminiscence of the past and spoke to Vidura in a pleasing mood. So this was the beginning of the chapter, the beginning of this narration. Very interesting how it is mentioned here of Vidura's Uddhava's old age, and how his attitude of service never slackened. Just last week, someone was telling me of an experience. One lady is working as a wonderful lady. She's working to support herself as a company lady. She herself is old, and she's working as a company assistant, a companion of older people that they are hired for them, that are in the verge of death, actually, in different circumstances, but very old people and opposite people from the material point of view. So she had a most amazing experience that directly confirms something we've heard from Srila Prabhupada so many times about the impersonalists. My life today was also mentioned by the Divine Grace in the purport. With the famous, when he paraphrased the famous verse he always quotes in regards to Krishna's sakas, Krishna's friends, Sukhana Bhutya, Krita Punya Punja. So, what happened was this particular lady, very rich lady, old lady, and in her 90s, perhaps. And the first day the devotee went to the place, while waiting for the lady, looked at the room's library and saw one of the books in the spine, Bhagavad Gita. He pulled the book out, and it was the Bhagavad Gita, but from some well-known impersonalist mission. And anyway, put the book back, and doing so, then saw so many other books of the same group, which we know in personal. When the lady came, they started having some conversation and about this. And anyway, as the days went on, and she continued coming for a few, several days to do this work. Then finally the lady revealed how she was totally, she actually had asked her, asked our devotee, have you shut your heart? Have you closed your heart by now? Have you already closed your heart to everything? So what do you mean? Well, have you closed your heart to your family members, to everything in this world? Your daughters, your granddaughters, grandsons. Says, oh no, I have not done so. Well, I have. I have not so. I am finished with everything in this world. And now I am just ready to go. So like that day, she started this conversation and revealed that actually it was not, although she thought it was a very, she was in a very transcendental position, what actually was happening, to anyone who can see through what she's saying, is that she was very frustrated with life. The end of life had come, and all she had out of it was old age. That's all she got. And very interesting how that has no meaning in the life of a devotee. Uddhava thus served the Lord continually from childhood, and in his old age, that attitude of service never slackened. As soon as he was asked about the message of the Lord, he at once remembered all about it. And as we can understand, he became so enlightened by this. The life of a devotee is enlightening all the way to the end. This attitude is there all the way to the end. We are very fortunate in being able to think that this is what is coming. This is what we are to expect in our life. as the product of devotional life, of our, especially our daily sadhana, this daily sadhana, that we may attain, we may not come to a life of frustration. The end of the story, to tell you the truth, is that the lady, she would like to commit suicide. That is the end of the story. And which matches exactly what Srila Prabhupada said, a little bit in a different sense. He said how impersonalism is a, what was it, spiritual suicide? Spiritual suicide. So we see that it may lead also to material suicide, because it's like that. It's just a symptom of frustration. It is a symptom of frustration. We think that to be a person was the problem. This is the problem. So how can there even be a supreme person? That means that is the supreme problem. So the idea is one should eliminate a person, the character of being a person, the fact of being a person. It is important to mention, Prabhupada has directed this text to discuss Vagnasha, the organization of society, in a manner that will lead society to fulfill its goal of pleasing Krishna. Our original position of pleasing Krishna that we have rebelled against. So we must mention, we must speak about the importance of Vagnasha. We have understood that it is a most important aspect of the responsibilities of the mission of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It's such a difficult task, because not only actually this society, Varnashram means four classes, society divided in four by activity, by occupation. So in that classification, ISKCON is meant to represent Brahmana, the teachers of society. But in the present context, we have the very difficult service and mission of establishing the whole system. And where does that begin? One feels, it's just sometimes like giving the example, especially being here on this west coast, we're at the coast of the ocean. And if we may go to the coast and think that we have to swim across the ocean, just throw ourselves in. Just like Unkam Karoti Vachalam, Pangun Langayate Girin, just like if we are in front of a mountain, thinking we have to walk all the way up onto the other side. Looks at such an impossible task, so we don't even want to start. So this implementation, how to institute Varnashram, how actually we have seen today Prabhupada speaking, has been speaking of the cows, the bulls and grains. And we have seen, and on the one hand these things exist, farming is going on, but in a total different manner, with a completely opposite spirit. This farming, this agrarian life, which has been reduced anyway very much, but whatever is left is meant just to continue pursuing our rebellion against Krishna, the rebellion of this world, pushing farther and farther away the living entities from their happy condition, from their actually peaceful condition of being the servants of Krishna. So we may see this work of instituting Varnashram as a very Herculean task, almost impossible. And so far, so many attempts have been made and apparently have been unsuccessful. Prabhupada, our various main authority, has given so much stress on cow protection. And whoever has had experience with this topic knows by now how difficult this is. It's become a very major concern in our society. There are very few spots where we are trying to do this. Because society, we do not have the whole environment, the whole backing of society. There's a way of saying, there's a way I've heard speaking here in America, they say, the farmer, I may use it at this time, the farmers among us stand up and be counted. So, what training is there? What is our consciousness? We were speaking in the beginning of consciousness. What is our consciousness regarding life in the woods? How attracted are we to that? So, physician, heal thyself. We are promoting page after page, book after book, this national system based on farming and protection of the cows and goats, but who is ready to do that? So where is this to begin? I may end with this idea. Where is this to begin? About national. How to institute for national. Actually, I don't want to forget, I had brought so many quotes and sections to read. Today the word is there, Venu. Ranat Venu, Ariramat. So Venu, the meaning is flute. It's referring to Krishna's flute. So this item is very important in Krishna's pastimes, and there are so many flutes. I may call it a whole science about the flutes. So many flutes, different names, different sizes, and of course different sounds. And there are so many pastimes. And the flute is so important. There's a section in the Bhagavatam called the Venu Geet, the song of the flute. And the greatest devotees, the gopis, that is chapter 21 of the Krishna book. The greatest devotees, the gopis, they are describing, explaining the importance of the flute. So perhaps today we can, at our own, in our own time, read this. The first chapter of Krishna book and understand the position of Krishna's flute in his pastimes. So, Varnashram, where it all begins, it is explained by Srila Prabhupada, and it's very important for us because of the nature of this community in particular. That Varnashram begins in the Grihastha Ashram. It is all based on the Grihastha Ashram, the first text of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, text 10, Manda Sumanda Mandariva, the famous verse of the disqualification of the people of Kali Yuga, Prajinalpa Yushasabhya, Kalo Alpa, Prajinalpa Yushasabhya, Ayush, that very little life like that, the duration of life, it's very short, so there are so many disqualifications in this age. So in the purport, Prabhupada explains how the main problem is that the brahmacharis and vanaprastha communities are not being produced by the Grihastha Ashram. The Grihastha Ashram is failing. So there are so many instances. Anyway, the beginning is the Grihastha Ashram. And we should take note that everything is supported. The foundation of our philosophy finally is supported on the Grihastha Ashram. So we should try to understand more and more how we can have a successful Grihastha Ashram in Krishna consciousness. It is a difficult thing to understand because seemingly Shastra criticizes the Grihastha Ashram so much. As the Agriha Antakupa, one famous verse from Prahlad Maharaj, even a child was rebuking us.
Vietnam and the Vietnam.
So the dark web of Grihastha, of the Griha, of one's household. But we have also learned, especially from Lord Chaitanya's pastimes and his Grihastha associates, that there is a different Grihastha ashram. So Prabhupada will make the difference between Grihastha and Grihamena. So it is very important that the Grihastha ashram be well established, because everything else is depending on that. And you will see in further texts, in this third canto in particular, in chapter 14, and later in chapter 21, we will see some, I wrote this post, but there's more time. So, and Prabhupada mentions how important it is that particularly the Grihasthas earn wealth for supporting themselves and supporting the rest of the ashrams, the rest of society. But for that, the Grihastha ashram, the families have to be well constituted. And we, I think we all know how, what the, how big of a problem we have in this regard of the families, breakage of the families in our Krishna conscious movement. So we should endeavor, we should work very hard in trying to understand what is the problem, why there are so many separations in our, among our Grihasthas, and we should try very much to strengthen our Grihastha ashram, the basis of this Krishna conscious movement for the material point of view. So we'll end there. If there's any questions or comments, anybody can know. There's a question, at least my first name. Yes?
I was curious, how did the cows become checkered in colors?
How did they become checkered with color? I have no idea except for thinking that, you know, it's just, if anybody has any Shastric reference as to how they became checkered? We have seen checkered cows. Actually, when they are drawn for the children, they have been checkered. What is the origin of checkered cows? I've never expected such a question. So I guess that's another of the philosophical one. Just as this verse is very simple, that seems a simple thing to me. Everything in Krishna consciousness has such a deep understanding. I guess we always try to look for that. Anybody has yes, so?
Well, regarding the spiritual world, one could also inquire, well, how did cow boys become blue and green and yellow? You know, and how does a cow in the spiritual world supply whatever you want? How does a tree, how do you stand under a tree and get whatever you want? Although it's all, you know, these are all described in the Shastra, describing the unlimited spiritual nature of Goloka Vrindavan, not subject to time and space, not subject to material or mundane limitations. So it is all for the satisfaction of Krishna. That's all. And Krishna is like Prabhupada says, you can, Krishna likes peacock feather, you cannot check. Somebody says, hey, God shouldn't have a peacock feather. Oh well, you know, he likes them. You know, so if Krishna wants a checkered cow or a purple cow or a pink cow, that's okay. Where's the pleasure?
Thank you.
Thank you for clarifying that. I just wanted to make sure that it was not canned like how we decorate cows here.
Well, at this point, you know, what we're implying is that's the way it is. Like Prabhupada would say, another way of saying it is, somehow or other, they became shaped. Somehow or other. Any other questions?